The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
What do we do when the whole world is trying to wipe out that nation and that race? You see, the reason the devil hates them so much is because he knows Jesus is coming back, and he can't come back if the Jews are not in the land called Israel and in a city called Jerusalem. I am preaching this morning on Israel in prophecy. Israel in prophecy. When I talk about Israel, I want you to draw a parallel between natural Israel and spiritual Israel. There are two Israels. There's natural Israel and the Jewish people and the Holy Land, but the Bible also says there's spiritual Israel, which is the church, the body of Christ, you and I, the believers who have been engrafted into the heritage tree by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so every promise, everything that you read about the nation of Israel and the Jewish people that God promises, He has made even greater promises and covenant, a covenant that is even greater through Jesus Christ for you and I and for your family and my family. When you look at how powerful Israel is now, it's a miracle of God. Half of the resolutions the UN has passed, over half, are negative about Israel, and yet they continue to grow and prosper. They're surrounded with enemies, yet they continue to grow and exist and prosper. Jesus in Matthew 23, in his farewell speech to Jerusalem, he said, I'm weeping over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stoned the prophets and you killed and I'm weeping. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. But I don't want you to think that God's through with them, because the Apostle Paul answers that question in the book of Romans in the 10th and 11th and 12th chapter. He says, has God cast away Israel? Is God done with Israel? He said, I won't come again. I won't speak to you. I won't come back to you. You're going to go through it. Even says these words are in the book of Romans. Paul said they are blinded. The Jewish people, how can they see and live in the Holy Land and not see Messiah Jesus? They don't believe in Jesus. Jewish people do not believe Jesus is God. They do not believe it. They do not receive Him. Why? Because their eyes are blinded. In the Bible, that God, Paul used that word. But he said, I won't come again. You will not see me anymore until I hear you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What is that about? That's when he's coming back. Now, there's the rapture. That will happen before all of this happens. And then the great tribulation. And at the end of the great tribulation, Jesus Christ is coming back on a white horse, and he's bringing all of us with him. And I want to read it. I want you to see it. And in that moment, when they see him and he comes down to earth and they see his wounds, this is what will happen in Zechariah 12 in verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of Israel the spirit of grace and supplication, and they will look on me whom they have pierced or crucified. And they will mourn for him as one who mourns for his only son. The word mourn means repent. They're going to cry out. They're going to realize, oh my God, he was the one. Jesus is Messiah. He is our Messiah. He is the one, because he was wounded for our transgressions and pierced for our iniquities. The scales are going to come off, and thousands and hundreds of thousands of Jewish people will be converted and believe in Jesus Christ and bow their knees. It's going to happen. He said, they'll look on me whom they pierced and they'll repent. There is the reestablishment of Jerusalem. It's already happened. There is the return of Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. And there is the revelation of Jesus Christ for the Jewish people. They are the three that have yet to happen. What the devil fears the most is the return of Jesus Christ. The Jews must be in Jerusalem for Jesus Christ to come back. The Jews must be there in the Holy Land. And this is why Satan is stirring up the nations of the world to hate that land and hate that people. And now it's even becoming almost like it was in World War II, where you can say whatever you want to say. Anti-Semitism is very, very, very much on the move and accepted. Why? Why? Because Jesus must come back when the Jews are in Jerusalem and have the Holy Land. And Satan knows that. He wants to wipe them off the face of the earth. God help the USA not to be on the wrong side. I want to give you this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth. That's the parallel of the Christian too. A special treasure above all the peoples of the earth. Verse 7, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you, Israel, Jewish people, and the church, because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all the people. I want you to understand that God doesn't love us because we're valuable. We're valuable because he loves us. Israel was God created, God decreed, God loved, God called, God elected, and God protected. Israel has a special purpose, and that is to bring Messiah to the world. The church has a purpose to bring Messiah, Jesus, to the world. Israel is under special protection according to Jeremiah 31 and verse 35. God says you would have to destroy the sun, the moon, and the stars. You would have to destroy all the one who gives the light of day. The God of the armies of heaven says if you can destroy the stars and the light and the sea and wipe it all out, then you can attack and defeat Israel once I put them back in that land a second time. What he's saying is they're under special protection. And the power that regulates the sun, the moon, and the stars, you can no more destroy Israel than you can destroy the universe. They're a special people with a special purpose, with a special protection. And lastly, it is a special place. Israel is a special place. And God put his people in that special place. And God, out of all of the whole earth, said, I choose that place called Israel. And he called it my holy land. And then he said, I choose that city in that land, my holy city, Jerusalem. And then he said, I choose that one hill in that city that's in that land. And that's the same hill that Abraham offered Isaac. That's the same hill that Solomon built the first temple. And that is the same hill that Jesus will come back and possess. And he will rule and reign for 1,000-year millennium. And then the great white throne judgment. Let me conclude with this. What is going to happen next is the rapture of the church. And then there will come on the scene, standing in the shadows of history, is a man known as the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 12 and 13 gives. And I want to take my time, and I'm going to do this because I want to do it. In Revelation chapter 12, and I want to put up verse 1, I saw a dragon. He said in verse 1, there appeared a woman clothed. Everybody say a woman. That woman is the nation of Israel. Why? How do you know that? Verse 2. She was with child and she was in labor. She was bringing Messiah. Israel is the woman. The baby is Messiah. Verse 3. And I saw a red dragon. And he wanted, it goes on to say, he wanted to devour that child. Now, what I want to point out to you is simply this. He wanted to devour that child. And verse 13, when the dragon saw that the woman gave birth to the child, notice the words, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Who is the woman? Israel, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. And what is the dragon doing? Ever since that nation brought Messiah, they have been persecuted. Look at it again in verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. Who's the woman? Israel. Israel. And he went to make war. Notice the specific, with the rest of her offspring, her descendants. Do you understand that what you're watching on the news is revelation being unfolded right in front of your eyes? I really gonna mess with you now. Okay. And what happens is pretty amazing. Because he says, the dragon's enraged. And then the next part of the verse in chapter 13, he begins to describe the Antichrist ultimately. The Antichrist comes on the scene out of seething seas, unrest, out of control, social agitation, like a sea. He said, I saw this beast come out. The beast, he's called the man of sin. He's called the son of perdition, the little horn. And out of this social multitudes of people, nations, social agitation, comes the rise in Revelation 13 and 1 of the beast, the Antichrist. His attributes are described as the father is the his father is the dragon. His family is a collective evil of world empires. His fortune is the power and authority of Satan. The beast is Satan's Superman. His seductive appeal is described in Revelation 13. His appearance will amaze the world. What will happen is, according to Revelation 13, verse 3, he will be mortally wounded in his head, and he will be healed from that. Literally, what will take place is he will look like he's dead and have a wound. And Satan, because he had to have a snake in the garden, he cannot legally come as a spirit. He has to possess a body. And Satan in that moment will step into his body, and the Antichrist will be Satan in skin. And the world will wonder after him, the scripture said. They'll marvel. They'll wonder after this wound, after he will literally be possessed and have a physical, just like a mockery of the incarnation of Christ through Mary. He will come into the earth in that moment and take possession of that body that is known as the Antichrist. And the world will marvel at the signs and the wonders. And out of that will come enforced worship. It goes on to say, I believe it will be the spirit of Islam. And you either bow, because this Antichrist is anti-Christ and is anti-Semitic and is anti-Christian and is anti-Bible. Lastly, he will control the wealth. And how will this happen? In verse 16. In verse 16 of Revelation 13, he said, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark in their right hand or their foreheads. Next verse. That no one can buy or sell except one receive the mark in the name of the beast and the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. The only question left now is, will you be here for that? You can be saved during the great tribulation, but it'll cost you your life. And you cannot take the mark of the beast, or you won't be able to buy and sell and have food. You'll have to hide. And you're either following the Lamb or you're going to follow the beast. And he says in that same sequence of Revelation 12, 13, 14, and whosoever's name was not found in the book of life. There will come the great judgment, great white throne judgment, and I won't be there, and I hope none of you under the sound of my voice and listening to me will be there, because I settled out of court. I settled it in an altar in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And I don't have to plead my case. I'll plead the blood. And the judge will come down with a hammer and say, "Worthy is the Lamb. He's clean. Open the pearly gates and let him in to a city where there'll never be a tear, pain, sorrow, death." What about you? What about you? Are you ready for the coming, the imminent return of Jesus Christ? All those prophecies have happened, and there are just a handful that are left. One of them is the rapture of the church. And in an hour you think not, he's coming. Be ready. I'm going to ask you not to move in and out. Just stand to your feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you would say, "Pastor Jensen, I need to be ready. I need to repent. I need to follow the Lamb. I need to give my heart to Jesus Christ today. Pray for me. I want to be washed. I want to be cleansed. I want eternal life. I want to know joy unspeakable and full of glory." And boy, I need to conclude this thing soon on preaching on heaven, because you've heard all the bad news, but we cannot even imagine the good that God has laid up for his own. Oh my God. Oh my Lord. Eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't die and go to hell. Don't be left behind. Be ready. "Pastor, I want to be ready. I want to get right with God." If that's you, boldly raise your hand right where you're standing. I want the Christians to pray right now. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Raise it unashamed. High, high. That's it. That's it. All over the room at every campus. If the Lord is speaking to you, and I see so many hands, just get out of your seat and come down and stand at the front of the building. We want you to come forward. We still believe. I don't know. I still believe it takes something. It breaks something off of you when you step out by faith and say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus." Here they come. Clap your hands, church. They're getting ready. They're getting ready. "And in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." And that's what's happening. Come on, come on, come on. Don't resist it. Don't resist him. Don't say another day. Don't say he delays his coming. I've got plenty of time. Come this morning. If the Spirit is drawing you, come, come, come. The Spirit says come. Beautiful, beautiful. Come on, they're still coming. Clap your hands, church. This is more important than anything. This is more important than anything. Precious souls. Precious souls. Come on, come on, come on, come home to Jesus. Come home. You've been running too long. You know it's real. You know you need to get right this morning. Don't put it off another service. Don't put it off another day. Come on. Bless you. God bless you, son. God bless you, son. Come on, come on. That's somebody's son. That's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's grandchild. That's somebody's husband. That's somebody's wife. That's somebody's child. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know you need to walk down that aisle. You know you need to humble yourself. You know you need Jesus like you've never needed him before. And the reason you're here, listen to me carefully, the reason you walked down that aisle is because the Holy Spirit dealt with you and God spoke to you. If you never hear him again, he spoke to you this morning. And he said, I love you. I'll save you. I'll redeem you. I have a purpose and a plan. I'll protect you. I'll keep you. Just like I keep Israel, I'll keep you. I'll keep you. So right now, we're going to pray this prayer. And I want everybody in the room at every campus to pray it with me. Pray out loud. And as I pray it, I speak it over your families that are in the grill and in our stages at every campus. We have pictures of families that we started during the fast this year. God save our families. This ought to give you a burden for the lost loved ones and friends that don't know Jesus. This ought to give you a move in your heart to tell somebody about Jesus. Now raise your hand high all over the room and down front. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you, Jesus, are the Savior of the world. You have a plan. You're a great God of mercy and goodness. And I receive you as my Savior. You died. You carried the cross. You bled and died for me. And you rose again to give me eternal life and the hope of heaven. And I receive it right now. By faith, write my name in the book of life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, I am a child of God. Praise Him. Give Him all the glory.
It's not by chance you're watching today's message. God strategically planned for you to hear this message to build your faith up in the area that you really need to hear it. He really does love you. He really is merciful, and He is a good God. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you received that prayer, we want to hear from you. You need to link your faith with our faith, and that's why the number's on the screen. And go on there and find out online what you can have so easily at your fingertips. Things like a website that you can receive a free salvation journey kit. And in your new walk with the Lord, we'll tell you what the Bible teaches you should do once you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to hear from you. Do that today. If you prayed that prayer, pick up the phone and call us and tell us. There will be an encouraging voice on the other side.
Over the past 5 years, we've worked to help build an amazing Kingdom Play School, 4 fortified bomb shelters, and a fire station for the Eshkol region in southern Israel near Gaza. Last year, Pastor Jensen visited with the kibbutz of Kerem Shalom to dedicate one of our shelters with the community there. This village could not be any closer to the border with Gaza. The head of Eshkol Security, Keith Isaacson, showed us the proximity of the wall and even allowed us to peer through to the other side. On Saturday, October 7th, at this exact location, Hamas broke through the border and entered Israel. What you're seeing now is footage Israeli Defense Forces recovered from the body of a Hamas terrorist. We built these shelters with the intention of shielding the Israelis from rocket attacks. We could never imagine how God would use them. Thankfully, we can report that these shelters protected some families long enough for the Israeli Defense Forces to regain control of the area and rescue them.
Hello, Pastor Jensen.
Keith Isaacson from Eshkol. We day number 13 of this massacre. Around 40 terrorists came into this kibbutz, exactly where we're standing. What they did here was a massacre, and our teams, first response teams, fought here for many, many hours. A lot of stuff that we have has been donated. The vests that we are wearing, the ATVs that we use for fires actually also helped us, because it's open and we can put people on the fighters and use it. All the equipment that I've been collecting the last couple of years helped our security officers and first responders. Thank you very much. God bless.
We have stood shoulder to shoulder with the brave people of these communities for years. And we continue to stand with Israel on both fronts, in the south and north, where we are currently building the JFMM Emergency Center. Knowing that these projects have already helped save lives, we are now stirred to do more. As the war progresses, we will continue our efforts on the ground, providing aid and comfort to the people of Israel. Together, we save lives. Together, we stand with Israel. You're invited to join us in person at Free Chapel. Across our 8 campuses on the East and West Coast, you can enjoy the same great experience with Spirit-filled worship and a powerful Jesus-centered message from our senior pastor, Jensen Franklin. Kids and youth of all ages will experience and learn about the love of Jesus. From KidPack on Sunday mornings to our annual Forward Conference that draws thousands of students from across the country. No matter your age or background, there's a place for you at Free Chapel. Join us every Sunday online or in person at a campus near you.
I want 10,000 mothers and women who will take intercessory prayer for a generation seriously.
We are Rachel's Army. We are women that who are going to say we're setting everything else aside. You call that child back into ministry. You call that child back home. You call that child out of addiction. Call that child.
They shall return from the land of the enemy. It's time to pray.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.